Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I don't know the songwriting skills of the Crimson Fuzz. I'm not familiar with their other works.
Yeah.
They wrote the perfect theme song.
It's perfect for the Morning Scramble.
It is the right tempo. It's the right vibe.
Yeah.
It features many of our street teamers on auxiliary instruments, which is awesome.
I love it so much. Gets me going to start my day. And I am so appreciative, especially here on a Friday.
Not too fast, not too slow.
Mm-mm.
You can kind of scram at your own pace.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I like.
Scram however you feel
right. You
need to scram today.
And I think we've done a good job of taking the word scram, which typically means get out of here.
Yeah.
And reworked a little bit. We've now made it a verb that can be whatever you want it to be.
Yes.
It's kind of like smurf.
Yeah.
Think about it.
We smurfed it.
We smurfed scram.
We smurfed the word scram.
We sure did.
That is smurfing great. Yes.
I am scram-tastically happy right now. That's what we did.
Scram is our word. Scram is smurf. Yeah,
scram
I love it.
Scram is smurf.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy.
That has just opened up a whole new world.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm going to have a little trouble making eye contact because you are wearing full-on Cyclone regalia today.
I had to, my man. I had to.
I understand.
We are down Cyclone representation, Iowa State Craig. One of the loveliest people in the world.
He's been in the band, I think, as long as we've had a band.
Yeah.
And every Iowa State weekend, he will come. He still fits into his marching band uniform.
Which is impressive.
Good
is
for
it not
you to keep that body from college.
College.
Yes.
His wife is having some surgery, and he needs to be there for the recover. He's her, emergency contact.
Yes.
So he cannot be here today. Although I was like, oh, man, today, I mean, of all days. Vital, right?
We could have sent him the music. Is he in a hospital room or are they home?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, we could have zoomed him in.
I didn't ask the particulars.
I'm sure that's going to help your wife's recovery as you play solo in the bedroom.
Hey, Doc, do you find marching band music to be good for recovery?
Come on, Doc. Tell me. Give it to me straight.
Healing marching band
music.
It's music,
right?
Yeah.
It's good for the soul.
Music can do that.
Right.
And I have no doubt that marching band music will do that.
I just rarely see you in any Cyclone gear. But I know that's your family's on that side.
My dad went, my sister, my brother, they all graduated. So, yeah, I mean, I've got it.
I get it.
I've got it in the closet. I've got one. So I pulled it out today.
I have no direct relatives except my uncle went to the University of Iowa. Isn't that interesting?
The Iowa State?
Iowa. I was thinking about, how family kind of dictates where you're going to go.
Oh.
Like, I didn't go to Iowa Wesleyan. That's where my parents met.
Yeah.
In Mount Pleasant. My dad flunked out of Luther. I didn't go there. Also, I think the Hanson name is tarnished.
Just do your own thing.
That might be why. My uncle, Don, went to Iowa. But, it's just interesting that everybody was still a Hawkeye fan.
Right.
But when I grew up, 30 minutes south of Iowa City, that kind of makes sense.
I know. It's like it's right there.
But my two brothers didn't go. Greg went to a tiny school in Illinois. Nicholas went out to teach and learn handbells in California.
Well, where else are you going to learn handbells?
That's the only spot. I have. Why did you ask?
I don't know enough about the handbell schools.
Oh, I know so much more than I did before then.
In these United States of America.
But remember, my niece is at Iowa.
Yeah.
And is also in the Hawkeye Marching Band.
Right.
That's hashtag legacy.
Exactly.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
And the flip side, everybody in Shannon's family, Iowa, mom, dad, brother.
Yeah.
Is that just,
it's
kind of weird how the influence kind of flows or doesn't flow.
I feel so bad for a house divided. Oh my goodness.
That'd be tough.
It's got to be hard.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's lots of them across the state. So we'll see what happens.
We just need to get through this weekend. And
yep.
Then, we are a lot divided. My neighbors, Cyclone fans, Hawkeye fans over here.
Yeah.
Right there on
Can't
Northeast
wait
Cedar
to
Rapids.
Hear about how you've gotten back at them.
Shannon was in charge of the prank, and I don't know when it is going to take place.
Because they pranked you.
Yeah. They put a flag in our back, a cyclone flag in our backyard, and they hung some handmade cyclone ornaments on our front tree. So we have...
You have to get back.
The wheels are in motion. I just don't know when the wheels get going.
Okay.
But we're looking forward to it.
It's that kind of...
It is.
It's rivalry week.
That's the fun part of it.
We will get into it
yes.
Here on the Morning Scramble, but... And we've got a big Powerball jackpot up for grabs tomorrow.
How much?
$1.7 billion.
Have you bought a ticket or your husband bought a ticket?
I have not, but I can rest assured that he will buy several.
I almost bought one. I was in one of those, had to run to the store, and those are the stories where, like, I didn't think about it, so I just bought a ticket.
I just bought one on a whim.
That's the story that I want to win the lottery, buy a whim ticket, but exactly. I didn't get one yesterday.
It seems like that's the way to do it, just buy something on the whim.
Yes.
But what about, what if we looked at the odds? Like, what are the numbers that you need? What are some winning numbers?
Numbers that come up more often?
Exactly.
You have them?
A website analyzed Powerball drawings over the last 10 years. That's 1,246 drawings in all. And they had some interesting data points. The most likely number to come up in Powerball is?
Something in the 20s.
Uh-uh.
No.
Uh-uh.
What?
61.
That's way high.
It is super high. But of all the drawings that they analyzed,
61?
Over 1,000 drawings, 61 is the number that's most likely to get called.
Remember playing Yahtzee growing up, and it always felt like 6 would come up more than other numbers?
Sure, yeah.
It just, there's those numbers that it should be equal.
Uh-huh.
The odds should say it's a equal percentage all the way around.
But for whatever reason,
61 comes up more often.
61 has been drawn 115 times over that 1,000, and that's the most likely. If you want an unlucky number, like, maybe don't pick this one as part of your Powerball numbers. Sorry, Taylor Swift, but number 13.
I bet that gets picked a lot, too.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, it's that unlucky number. It's going to be my lucky number. It is an unlucky number, at least for Powerball. Yeah. And for your Powerball.
Right.
The three most common Powerball numbers selected over 10 years.
Lay them on me.
4.
4.
21.
21.
And 24.
24.
Those are the most likely to be called.
So how would you do this with that information right there?
It means nothing.
Would you buy one ticket? Would you buy three separate Powerball tickets? Right? So at least you have that Powerball is different in each one. Because getting that right at least gets you a free ticket.
I know. I'm like, it just depends.
How much you want to spend? Because it's what, $2 a ticket now?
Yeah, exactly. So you have to think about that. But then again, it's all random too. These are just, it happens to be.
Well,
right?
I would love to do the story Monday morning. Local person buys ticket. Just because.
Heard on radio.
Heard on radio, played number, and won. And then the follow-up story is decided to share the wealth.
And decided to share it with local morning personalities.
Where they heard it.
Yes, 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 yes.
That would be a great story.
Please and thank you.
On a Monday morning.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I'm so conflicted today because I feel like a person divided. We've got the rivalry game coming up on Saturday. We have our very own, like, Z102.9 marching band comprised of primarily Hawkeye marching band alum. It is so great, and I love having a little bit of team spirit kicking off the weekend, but this Friday is a little bit different. We, for a rivalry game, always count on Iowa State Craig, our one trombone player who always represents Iowa State. He so brave because he wears full Iowa State regalia, and everybody else is cheering for the Hawks big time. And it is stunning to me because Iowa State Craig is a pretty soft-spoken guy.
He's, he doesn't like to, you know, tip the basket, so to speak.
No, he does not.
Just kind of stays in his lane. Great instrument player.
One week only will he kind of step out of line, and that is this week. So when he told me that he was not able to be present for this game, I felt responsible. I felt like if anybody was going to step up and
carry a mantle,
it was going to have to be me.
Got it.
I asked Iowa State Craig if he would be so kind, if he would trust me with his marching band hat.
Oh, not the full uniform, but the hat.
No, just the hat.
He still has his hat? That's right.
Yeah, he has the hat with the plume.
That's crazy.
Marching band hats have these, like, really real feather plumes, and they are very delicate.
And it's right now, it's contained in a cardboard tube that's about the size of a baton, like you're running a shuttle race.
Yes, it is very important that I be very careful. So he left me a note on how to care for this hat.
Okay.
To Claire, here is the Iowa State hat from my uniform. I also included the plume. Please take care of them. Take care of the plume means handling precautions. They are thus. Don't let the plume get wet.
Wait, he wrote thus? Okay, continue.
Don't let the plume get wet.
Yep.
Keep the plume in sheath until needed.
Don't unsheath until needed.
I will not be unsheathing this.
Okay.
It's still in its cardboard tube.
It's sheathed.
Until halftime.
Thus.
Don't feed the plume after midnight. The plume only goes in the sheath one way. Don't pull on the plume. Have fun.
Wow.
Iowa State Craig.
Do you know two or three of those rules are gremlin rules? They're like, if you get that thing wet, will it multiply? That's my first question.
Oh!
And then if you feed it after midnight.
For sure a bad idea.
Gremlins everywhere.
I know. I have to be very careful. They could multiply.
Don't taunt it either. I would add that rule.
Don't taunt the plume.
Don't taunt the plume.
Okay, we got to be very careful with this
yes.
thing. I didn't
Will
realize.
You be wearing his hat and plume outside this morning?
Yeah, I'm scared too, though.
Of everybody else in the band?
Of everybody.
Or of the plume?
I'm scared of... I wasn't scared of the plume before. I'm a little more scared of the plume.
Of the plume.
Now that I've read the plume instructions.
Be careful.
Thank you.
If you follow the instructions, you'll be fine. As long as he didn't get that dang thing wet, you wouldn't have had a Gremlins movie, so we're
right,
okay.
Right, right. Kept it dry thus far.
We got back from the vacation on Tuesday. And Wednesday, I was feeling a little sniffly.
Mm-mm.
Right? You're on a plane. You're interacting with a ton of different
that
people.
That happens a lot.
So, like other people I've been running into, I think I've made a tiny stop at Sinusville.
Mm-hmm.
Just trying to clear this stuff out. But last night, I was so clogged. I could that I had to mouth breathe. And I tell you what, I got hit by my wife no less than three times. Turn over. You're snoring.
I have been in her shoes.
Now, first of all, I typically sleep on my stomach. But to breathe when you can't breathe,
do that.
I need to be closer to the oxygen, which is on your back.
Yeah.
That's my belief. Secondly, we have converted into a dog in the bed house.
Oh, no.
And now Roland takes up whatever space. So I just sleep in a position that lets the dog stay in the bed. There was a point where I was about ready to either go sleep on a couch last night.
Mm-hmm.
The guest bedroom still has all of our dirty clothes we haven't gone through yet from the trip. You know how it is, right?
Yeah.
Couch has also the souvenirs. It's just like there was no place to go. So she landed a couple. I just wanted to make sure you don't see any...
She hit you in the face?
It felt like it was in the face, yeah. Well, that's where the snoring was coming from. It wasn't on the shoulder.
Okay, I've hit a guy, but
no,
not
it was,
in the face.
It was in the face.
Kudos, Shannon Hansen.
And now, a pop culture update we like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Pete Davidson is going to be appearing on the upcoming season 17 premiere of Shark Tank.
Really?
You heard that right. Shark Tank. Pete Davidson is going to be on Shark Tank, and no, he's not a shark. He's got something to sell.
Tattoo removal.
No.
No?
Any other guesses?
Pete Davidson's love guide.
Now that would sell.
Yes.
No, he is pitching the sharks socks.
Socks?
Yeah, it's a company called Double Soul, and he and one of the Double Soul executives pitched to the Sharks 4% of the company in exchange for $500,000.
Interesting.
It is.
Why is he involved in a sock company?
Right. We don't know exactly all the details.
Okay.
All we have is this kind of like trailer clip from ABC, right? So in the clip, he says, I get sent a lot of crap and I usually give it to my cousins. I got sent Double Soul socks a couple years ago and I had to meet the team. I wanted to be involved immediately.
So, yeah, he gets probably all of these opportunities to become a spoke. Like, he's doing Taco Bell.
Yes.
He does Fuji Water or something.
Yeah.
So, the sock company wanted a spokesperson, but he liked the company.
He liked the company a lot. Apparently, it isn't an athletic sock. It's not a novelty sock. They kind of took the best things of both worlds and mashed them into one perfect everyday sock.
How do you think the sock needs to be improved at this point of your life?
I don't know how it's better. And I don't have any word if any of the sharks bite.
I do have those ankle socks that are designed for just like walking in tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
those seem to ride down and don't stay up.
Dude, if so, they could figure that out, that'd be great.
If you could fix that,
yeah,
you have my attention.
Yes. I don't know enough about the sock, and I don't know if the sharks bite, so we're going to have to find out when Shark Tank is back Wednesday, September 24th.
All right. Go sell some socks.
We all wear socks. I mean, it's not a bad investment. Everybody's going to wear socks. I don't know. We'll see. I think this is something for everybody, too. Right now, the Toronto Film Festival is going on, and there's a new documentary that people are buzzing about because it's about the, I think, internationally beloved actor, John Candy.
Yeah.
It's called John Candy, I Like Me. It made its premiere at the film festival, and it's got a lot of star power. I mean, in the documentary, they talked to a lot of famous people who worked with John Candy. It is produced by fellow Canadian Ryan Reynolds. It's directed by Tom Hanks' son, Colin Hanks. So
those are big names.
You know, a lot of connections in this. Macaulay Culkin is featured in it with a very touching story about what a nice guy John Candy is and how much he cared for his fellow actors.
And so much of his cast from Second City TV.
Yes.
You've got Martin Short, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy, which have continued to make a name for themselves in television
now. Exactly. Huge names. They even got Bill Murray, and that's not easy to do. They had premiered the film, and then they had Ryan Reynolds and Colin Hanks talking about the process of making this documentary. And Ryan Reynolds revealed it was very hard. I mean, it's just, everybody knows it's hard to get a hold of Bill Murray and ask him to do anything.
Don't you have to call a payphone on his block or something weird?
He used to have a fax machine, apparently, but he doesn't have a fax machine anymore because nobody has a fax machine. So what they had to do was, there is a cellular telephone device, but when Ryan Reynolds called it, he got the voicemail for a Greek shipping company. So he didn't believe it, hung up, called it again, got the Greek shipping company again, left a message, and then another, and then another, and then another. And he failed the test, whatever test it was, to get a hold of Bill Murray.
So the secret code word?
Yeah, I don't know.
This is crazy.
He ended up getting ghosted for a while, and he's like, my last ditch effort is just send him a video message. So he's recording a video message about 11:30 at night, and his 2-year-old son walks into the room. His 2-year-old, he's like, it's like a horror movie. It's 11:30 at night. The kid should be out cold.
Yeah.
But, you know, had a bad dream. I need you, daddy. So he walks into the room, says something indecipherable. He's like, I'm sending a video to Bill right now. Do you want to tell Bill to do the interview? And he says, he looked at the camera. He goes, clear as day, do the interview, Bill.
A two-year-old.
And then Ryan Reynolds says, you say no to a kid like that, we'll know what kind of monster you are. And then he just hung up.
Perfect.
He got Bill Murray to be in the documentary. Well done.
When does it come out?
It's going to be on Prime.
Okay.
And it comes out October 10th.
Lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
I can't wait to see that.
It looks very compelling.
I grew up with all, and if you watch Home Alone every Christmas, I believe most of the scene where they're the bowling polka team or whatever,
yes,
was improvised.
Yeah, it was.
He just made it up.
He made a lot of that up. Spaceballs. Barf. He was incredible, and it's a very touching story. If you don't ask, things won't happen for you. I appreciate a band like Foreigner campaigning for their next gig. And their next gig,
because I just saw them at McGrath.
I know.
3 weeks ago.
Well, apparently, McGrath was great, but they'd really love to play the wedding of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. They posted an open letter on Instagram using Taylor's Life of a Showgirl color scheme. And it says, dear Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, we know what love is. We spent 40 years figuring it out, and now you guys have too. Please accept this as our formal offer to be your wedding band. Best wishes. Foreigner.
So first song, then Travis dedicates a song to her. And then you get the crowd going.
Let's party! I can see this wedding. It's going to be incredible.
It's the most unusual answer for a wedding band for them. That's what makes it perfect.
But if you imagine, they do get Flava Flav to
officiate
the wedding, and then you go into the reception, you've got Foreigner. What a wedding! What a wedding!
I'm on board.
Absolutely. You say no to that.
Got my vote.
Come on, you guys. Don't be foolish. Take this opportunity. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
36th week of the year 2025, broadcasting from an elevation of 840 feet above sea level. You'll find us at a latitude of 41.88 degrees north and a longitude of 91.72 degrees west. This, my friends, is what we like to call nerd news.
Woo!
Custodians at a high school in New York found a decades-old time capsule that was supposed to have been opened in 2017.
Uh-oh. Well, we're just a little bit over that.
And it was sealed in 1992. So let's go back. From 1973 to 1992, the school kept a time capsule for 50 years.
Okay.
They seal it up. And from the looks of things, it was put in like a large, like a 32-gallon trash can with a gray lid.
Okay.
And then someone printed out a sign, 1992 style, probably using early Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
Or Corel Draw, put it on there.
Time capsule.
And then, so then they would go add 25. So they're waiting 25 years from 1992 to open it in 2017.
Uh-huh.
Well, it gets lost somewhere between then and now. And the people who did it kind of forgot about it. It was stuck in a janitor's closet, and they just thought it was an extra trash can. Nobody looked at it because the label was turned
to the back.
They were doing an inventory in the school this summer, and they unturn, they reverse it, and lo and behold, there is a time capsule.
Whoopsie doodle.
From 1973 to 1992.
Now, did they open it?
Yes, of course. You have to discover.
You have to open it.
Tons of photographs covering different proms and graduations so you could see how the trends had changed. A calendar from 1974. A banner from 1987. They were the school of the year for community service.
Aww.
The menu for the lunchroom from May of 1992. Some pom-poms. A student of the month certificate. And a movie. They made a VHS video yearbook from 1991 to 1992.
Oh, could
they play it? The school currently does not have a VCR.
Dang it!
So they're going to have to figure out a way to play it. But the plan is to put all of the items in a trophy case on display as students go back to school in New York a little bit later this month.
We're going to have to digitize that VHS.
That's your only option.
Yes!
And it's just because it got lost in a closet. But I'm glad they found it.
Me too,
right?
To
consider all of the work that you were keeping stuff for 50 years.
Yeah.
And then think back to the late to early 90s. The idea of the year 2000 was flying cars.
Isn't that crazy?
Right?
What's going to happen to the world?
Exactly. And then you want to open this thing and you totally lost it. Well, let's talk about future and technology. NASA is launching something they're calling the Rock and Roll Challenge.
What's that?
They need a new type of wheel that can roll over rocks.
Oh.
Thus, the Rock and Roll Challenge. Specifically, it must be adaptable to loose terrain on moons and planets, withstand ultra-frigid nights, because it's going to be on a surface that's not going to have sun for part of the day, has to be durable enough. Let's say we send it to the moon. A moon day is like 30 of our days.
Ooh.
So it's got to be able to work. It's got to be a workhorse. It's open to anybody. Students, garage inventors, multi-department aerospiel.
So this
Rockwell
is the design as well as the material that's used to make the wheel?
You start with the design, then they're going to look at concept and proof of concept, and they're going to go, okay, you're in, you're out. Now we will prototype it. Let's see if it does what you think it's going to do. Also has to go higher speeds. The cargo it's going to have to carry, so there's a lot of things to take into consideration. Then the finalists get to go to something I didn't know existed. The Lunar Terrain Obstacle Course in Houston, Texas.
That's a thing?
Yes. There is a fake moon surface that NASA has, and they will try all of these wheels out, and then they will award hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash and prizes.
Love it.
It's all great. Now, if I was the inventor, I would insist on a patent.
Yep.
Don't take the cash.
No.
Right? Because you're just going to give that product to them. They're going to use it, right? And you're not.
Yeah.
Your name might be on it.
No, get that.
If I learned one thing from the Big Bang Theory, when you work with space,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't let NASA
do you dirty, guys.
Uh-uh.
Watch out. This story has you quite intrigued. Replacing street lamps with glowing trees.
I think that sounds beautiful.
A group of Chinese researchers have created what they say are the first multicolored and brightest ever luminescent plants. So it's kind of like Avatar.
Ooh.
So what they used to do is they would splice the genes before growing the plant and it would have the capability to glow. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
This is easier. Grow the succulent, put in a chemical compound that makes glow-in-the-dark toys glow.
Yeah.
Does the exact same thing and it's brighter.
And really?
You can change the colors.
That's cool.
Green, blue, red.
So they're thinking, let's get rid of streetlights and let's just have trees glow?
Like why not?
All trees?
Well, they started, so where can you use this technology? One, it's very novel.
Yeah.
But two, like you could have a wall, a green wall of like succulents.
Yeah.
And at night, you don't have to turn a light on. You're not using electricity. They're going to glow enough. And they tested that you could read a book. You could look at images if you're close enough to the wall.
That's
so
crazy.
Now they're trying to figure out how much light to adjust. As long as it has a couple minutes in the sun, it'll go for 2 hours.
Dang.
And it lasts about 25 days before you have to replace it. Now, that's the hard part about the street.
Replace it with what? Another plant?
It's a plant, so it's going to die. So this sounded great until we got to this part of the story.
Dang.
But then again, light bulbs have to be replaced too.
You know what? And we just give them a little bit more time to
figure out. So you just have to screw in a new succulent.
Yeah.
And you're good to go.
We replace light bulbs all the time.
There's nothing wrong with that. That wraps up Nerd News.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
All right, band, are we ready for show number two?
Boy, they are peppy
today.
They
are peppy with just a sight of an excuse.
Yes.
Announcer's name, how you doing?
I'm doing great, sir.
All right, let's talk numerics. Derek?
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to Halftime. Under the baton of director of bands, Danson, John, Philip, Sousa, Hansen, and musical director Greg Young, the Z102.9 marching band asks this question. Before you say Hawks by a million this weekend, do you really understand what you're saying? Now, director Hansen was on a flight last week with a passenger who had traveled a million miles. A million miles, can you believe it? It does beg two questions, though. A, just how much is a million? And B, what's she running from? One way to understand the power of large numbers, like a million, is to look at the passing yards of Iowa's wonder kid Mark Gronowski in his opening game last Saturday. It wasn't great. 44 yards sounds downright pathetic. Why? Because it's a small number. But when you say he passed for 1,584 inches, over 3,000 half inches, pretty impressive, wouldn't you say? That makes you want to twist and shout. Let's look at a million another way, in distance traveled. Let's say X equals the one-way distance of 128 miles between Ames and Iowa City. You multiply X by 2 to represent one round trip, and then divide that into a million. And what do you get? Well, for one, a splitting headache because, well, math. But the answer is nearly 4,000 round trips between Iowa and Iowa State equal a million miles traveled. Well, that's a lot of car time. You're certainly going to feel that on your backside. That many trips makes for a raw hide.
One, two, ready, go! We'll be right back.
don't know. I done broke the band's brains with all that math. Sorry about that, band. Now let's put a million into a concept you'll all understand. Beer! Think back to your college days at an average Friday and Saturday night in Iowa City during football season. Take all those beers you consumed at One-Eyed Jake's, the Airliner, the Vine, and the Fieldhouse, and add it all together. It's weird. I'm looking out and I see a mix of joy and regret on most of your faces, which means you finally understand a million. Whether it's Hawks by a million this weekend or a million beers consumed, it's going to be a good time. On behalf of the Zealand 2.9 Marching Band, this is announcer's name saying enjoy the second half and go Hawkeyes!
Time for the buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on Z102.9.
Well, since we had to use beer as an example of the concept of a million during our Marching Band show, I thought I'd lead with a beer story. Big Grow Brewery is teaming up with Iowa born acclaimed country music star Haley Witters, offering a new brew called Corn Queen. And it drops today at any Big Grove across Iowa and their locations. I know Omaha, I don't know if they're open yet in Kansas City, but that empire continues to grow.
It's huge.
The timing is perfect. She kicked off her tour, which is also the Corn Queen tour, last night in Nashville. She's going to be close, Omaha on the 18th, and then Des Moines on the 20th. But anywhere it's a Big Grove brewery, you can get this.
Like, it's available this weekend.
It'll be available this weekend.
Sweet.
Yep. Described as a crisp lager brewed with Iowa-grown corn.
Love it.
Yes. So celebrating one of Iowa's own with a beer all her own. Stupid or not, leaving the scene of a crime in an Uber.
They're going to find you.
On the face value of it, I would say yes.
Yes. Stupid.
Right? A young man was trying to sell some clothes in Des Moines using an online marketplace. You've done this before. It's like, I'll meet you at the come and go.
Yeah.
And then you give me the cash, I'll give you the thing.
Sure.
And the first thing is, like, you always well-lit.
Yeah.
Very public.
Make sure that's a public area. Yeah, you feel safe about it.
This 20-year-old didn't follow those rules.
Dude.
At night at 10 p.m.
No.
At some random location.
Mm-mm.
So the guy to buy the stuff shows up and three of his buddies, two of whom are packing heat. So the kid gets robbed of his clothes and money. Police are called. One guy runs away on foot. Three other guys get an Uber.
What?
Yes. So the police, the guy on foot, they get him right away. And then they're like, I don't know how, but I'm sure law of enforcement can probably work with Uber to find where the car
is. Yeah,
they
took an Uber. Let's track it.
They pull that guy over. Those three guys run. They got two more.
Because the Uber driver doesn't want to be involved, right? Like, he's just doing his job.
Unless it's a buddy, right?
Who also happens to be an Uber driver.
Did you see the movie Baby Driver?
Yeah.
It's like that, but with an Uber.
Yeah. It was just like that?
Just like that.
He was a driver like that?
I think so. Mm. Good news, three out of four guys have been caught. And then silly, stupid news, I would never, if I was to rob something, and I'm not going to.
He's not going to. I won't let him.
I would never, no, I would use you. As a getaway driver.
No, thank you.
Producer Ben.
I don't want to be involved.
No, you're in this now.
No.
Co-conspirator. It's the morning scramble with Claire and Eric.
No.
I rob banks under our title. That's how I do it.
Don't you dare.
Okay, fine. Ben, I'll get producer Ben to
do
it.
Ben to do it.
8:05 news brought to you by Theater Cedar Rapids. Buy your 25-26 season subscription or individual show tickets right now at theatercr.org. Z102.9, it's 8:06 now with the morning scramble. The first thing they warn you about in this business is do not take live phone calls, and I'm doing it right now.
Well, we have to, because when you do a story about an Uber and Uber driver Kevin calls, we got to take the call.
For those that don't recall the story, Uber driver Kevin and our street teamer Rebecca tried to find John Stamos one morning around Cedar Rapids for hours, and we found the right golf course at the wrong time. But this guy knows his Uber routes. Good morning, Uber driver
one
Kevin.
One of the best.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
Oh,
good.
Great.
Do you have a handbook when it comes to people robbing and then wanting to use Uber services?
Has anybody ever done that to you?
I have. They have done that to me. I have.
What?
One of my first fares, I picked up this guy and he came out from behind a dark house, pulled a flat screen television out of the bushes.
No.
And
no.
Then managed to get it, put it in the back of my car. And then proceeded to tell me how he had all this legal knowledge.
No.
By the time we got to the destination, he couldn't figure out how to open my car again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Is that your only story?
Hilarious.
One and done? Or have you had others?
No, but I've got others, but we don't have time for that.
Wait, does this make you an accomplice?
Yeah. Wait, are we talking? Has the case gone to court yet?
I've never been certain about that.
I don't know how it works.
Well,
I only really put it together a little while later.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
It didn't seem odd at the time he was taking a television out of the bushes? That part didn't seem weird?
I was like, what the heck's going on? But I was brand new at driving. So
you've seen a lot. We had you come in for
a
taste at Tuesday once, and you brought in your own personal sickness bags that you keep in your car. You've seen it all, have you not?
I did. I have.
Seen every situation.
Uber driver Kevin, are you going to be working downtown Iowa City this weekend? It's going to be a party.
You know, I'm thinking about it. There's a good chance I will.
Very good chance. Well, have those sick bags at the ready.
Riding.
Yeah, make a few extra bucks. Well, thanks for taking a second to
definitely.
Call in and give us the inside Uber scoop. We definitely, definitely appreciate it. Uber driver Kevin.
Wow.
We haven't heard from him in a long time
kidding.
On the Morning Scramble.
Great inside knowledge.
It's the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
Z102.9.
Yeah, we need to take an inside look at the game because it's rivalry week in Iowa State. Big game. Lots of eyes going to be on the screens at the game in Ames. We need to break down this game just a little bit. And to do that, we turn to the Vandenbergs. We got Matt and Laura in studio with us. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When we asked you guys to show up, originally it was like you're going to get one a week. But you guys made the magic happen because I think it's such a big game, right? We need twice the Vandenberg power for Iowa State.
That's right.
We appreciate it.
My parents made it happen.
And thanks.
Shout out to them.
Thanks to built-in babysitters, right?
Exactly.
Well, we always like to do these breakdowns by looking back at what happened last week. Should I be concerned as a Hawkeye fan that this kid from South Dakota did not perform to the level we thought he was going to? Is it nerves? What happened?
I mean, it's just nerves. First time, you know, he's stepping up from South Dakota State to University of Iowa. I wouldn't put too much stock into it. I just hope that it was only cramps and that he'll last the full four quarters of the
game. Right, because they pulled him, too.
Do you think he's healthy enough? I know that I saw a radio insider who said, like, he's so new that he got lost in the tunnels.
Oh, he did?
This guy.
Somebody didn't lead him out?
No, he did.
Okay, follow
the rest of the team. Our radio.
There's a theme song.
Our radio brother, Tommy Lang, led him out of the tunnels. He's like, he asked about pizza, where he should go to get late night pizza.
This is fantastic.
And he didn't know how to get out of the tunnels.
Welcome to Iowa City.
Exactly.
Those are the two things he was worried about going down to the
Pizza and how do I get out of here? Man, I didn't even know where the door is.
I will say, though, that running attack, we got some beasts back there.
Yeah, redshirt freshman Xavier Williams had a great game. First freshman running back to rush for 100 yards since Sean Green. I feel like most of us remember
that's
that.
That's a big name. Yeah.
NFL that's a guy. So that's a good start. Four of our five offensive linemen played a lot of football for the Hawks. Our left tackle, we kind of rotated a few guys in there between Lauk and Dotsler. Got some time. But for the most part, the game's going to be one up front. Our linemen are going to be the ones that are going to set the tone. I'm sounding just like KF, but but it's going to be one in the trenches, full 60 minutes. Here comes all the coach talk. But essentially, as long as we can establish a good running game, give Gronowski an opportunity to do some play action rollout stuff, which did work against Albany. Uh-huh. And as long as he gets settled in a little bit. Ames is one of my favorite places to play.
Really?
Why is that?
Outside of Kinnick. Well, because they all hate you.
Oh.
And you know you're
going to feed on that?
But here's the thing. You're going to shut them up in 60 minutes.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. That's what it is. Like you said, the away team has won.
Yeah.
We've won the last six out there.
Six out there.
It's a pretty good, pretty good feeling.
That whole like siren thing at the beginning of the game, that doesn't throw you? Because I always get scared, and then I suddenly remember that it's just a cyclone.
You think
game.
An actual cyclone is coming through?
I always think that it's an emergency. I'm trained for these situations.
Lynn County Emergency Management?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, to be honest, they play it nonstop in the locker room, so we get tired of it. By the
they
time
do.
It shows up on
it's their pink locker room, basically.
I didn't know
interesting.
That.
Interesting. This is why we have these guys on.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Okay, what do we know about Iowa State? What about their team? What are they bringing?
Go ahead, Laura.
No, Matt. Here's the thing. I would love to tell you that I know a lot about football. You would think that I do.
Yeah.
The truth is.
You know the lore.
Matt's got all the football knowledge.
He knows the
I can't
lore.
Tell you this. 1941 at Iowa State at the Memorial Grill, okay,
uh-huh.
the Memorial Union, whatever it's called, they sold the Frosty for the first time. It was actually developed. Yes.
Are you kidding?
How do you know this?
Talking
History.
Hawks.
Come talking on.
Hawks.
Yes. These are the things that I care about, you guys.
I love it.
They developed the Frosty at the dairy department at Iowa State. Yes. And then sold it for the first time at their Memorial Union.
So like the Wendy's Frosty originated at Iowa State?
Was developed at Iowa State. Yes.
Wow.
The idea
She's being
for
very
it.
Careful with her phrasing. But
yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, just it was a Frosty type cents. Product.
Yes.
Yeah. And for 10 cents.
That's crazy.
That's pure.
Yeah.
Right? How do you guys enjoy a game like this? Will you be going to the game? Will you be watching at home?
We'll be watching at home with three really small children, pulling our attention in three different directions.
We did make the trip to Ames in 2019 when they had all those rain delays, and then they had the muff punt thanks to Devonta Young for recovering it. So we did get to go out there for a win.
I was at an Iowa bar in Chicago, and I don't remember being there much, but my credit card statement showed we had shots.
Interesting.
I know, isn't that surprising?
It's like it's nice when you have a little bit of printed history to see what happened.
Laura, take a game like what you did last week and then going into the next home game, which is UMass. How does your day typically go? Because you have a lot of assignments as part of a game day in Iowa City.
Yeah. You know, it actually starts like 3 hours before game time. Got to get there, got to get our sound check done, make sure everything sounds okay. Kind of walk around the field, make sure everything feels good and everything's working properly. Then I just go in, look over my script, make sure everything is, you know, in line. I've got all the timing correct. Go down about 30 minutes before kickoff, and then about 15 minutes before kickoff, 10 to 15, I go out on the 50-yard line, tell everybody, hey, welcome to Kinnick Stadium, kind of give them an overview of what the game's going to look like. All our special guests, give them an idea of that, and then it's off to the races.
That's and how cool, two night games right to kick off the season in Iowa City. Yeah.
Well, I mean, when you're at home with three kids, but... yeah, it was great.
Pressure.
It was great for Laura.
I think it's cool.
It's not about you, Matt.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Matt, let's do a little X and O breakdown. Yes. What are we looking at? So Iowa State is actually playing their third game of the season. They started in Ireland.
Yes.
And I had a stat that usually the team that loses that game doesn't come out looking great that season. And honestly, I was rooting against them. But they won.
Good.
They pulled it out against Kansas State. And then no problem with, I don't even remember who they played last
University
week.
University of South Dakota.
It was South Dakota. I'm so sorry. South Dakota is going to come up every week with you guys. What are we looking at as far as, I think under Matt Campbell, they've got a fantastic program.
They are doing a lot of really good things over there, and I don't want to give them a ton of credit, but they are, like I said, Matt Campbell has definitely started this thing moving forward. The defensive coordinator is really good. The defense that we're going to face is a little bit different. So last week we kind of faced more of a traditional 4-3, which is four down linemen, three linebackers, and four DBs. Iowa State likes to run a 3-3-5. So they have three down linemen, three linebackers, and then five DBs. The reason that's important is because now they're going to blitz at least one of those linebackers.
Almost all the time.
Almost every time, four guys will rush.
Wow.
So what that means is they can run stunts, you know, end kind of loops over the tackle, and the linebacker comes from the outside. So it all comes down to, again, our front five being able to discern who's blitzing, who's not, Gronowski knowing who's hot and who's not. So what a hot route is essentially is built-in protection. Let's say we can't block this outside linebacker. Mm-hmm. So if he comes, that receiver, that linebacker's over, is going to run a different route.
And
so
he should
we
be
can
open,
hit him where it is,
right?
Correct.
Because he doesn't have anybody defending him.
It's like a built-in counter for what they could blitz. So there's different things that we have to do based on that so that way we can do well on the offensive side of the ball.
How fast does the game move when you're in it? Or does it feel slow because you know the game so well?
So it's funny you say that. I black out during plays. It's
what?
All like reaction.
Just muscle memory.
Really? It's just reaction because you practice it so much. Like once I cognitively think about it before I line up, and then once the play is snapped, I stop thinking and just go. So I don't know if everybody's like that. Gronowski better be thinking a little bit.
But
he's back there, quarterback.
You've got to be looking down and analyzing things, but you let your body take over.
Yeah, because, I mean, with the amount of time you put in, so, I mean, yes, we're only in fall, but we also did 15, I say we, but the team did 15 practices in spring that are all 2 hours apiece. So you start taking that of 30 extra hours, and then you have all the film study and all the individual work you're putting on. So your body kind of gets used to what you're supposed to be doing by the time you get out there.
That could also be from the concussions. You never know.
Oh,
blacking
geez.
Out in high pressure situations.
You know what? I'm
it's
not a doctor.
Moving
the
violent game. That's true. I would just say I sit and elevate it, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, you're not a doctor either. But,
I'm not a
but
doctor.
It does sound like solid advice. So that was the
Thank
advice
you.
You gave Caitlin Clark. So thanks, doctor.
You're giving Caitlin Clark advice?
On the radio.
I don't know her, but I presume for bone bruises and groin injuries, ice and elevate, right?
And lots of fluids.
And lots of fluids.
Yeah.
I think that's
and rest.
It.
You can't
yes.
go wrong. Can't go wrong.
All season long, whether it's one or two, we love the fact that you guys are making time for us on a Saturday. It's because you have such a great podcast. Laura, tell us about Talkin' Hawks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Talkin' Hawks. So we actually started our podcast back in our closet like 4 years ago. Yeah, we got our own podcast equipment. Maybe they should make that stuff more expensive. This is what
this is what
it's
happens.
Pretty easy to start a podcast.
Yep. So we just started doing it in our closet. That sounded bad. Mic check.
Yeah.
Good morning,
whatever
everybody.
Works.
And yeah, and then Matt was doing all of the editing. He was doing all the behind the scenes work. We had one sponsor at the time. And then the next year I got pregnant again, and then it was like, man, we don't have the time for this. And then the next year we actually had Storyline Multimedia approach us and be like, hey, do you want to put together like a really good podcast that's like actually produced? And we were like, yes, we would love to not do that in our closet anymore. So
it's a great podcast.
Thanks. Yeah. So Matt is he's the analyzer. He's the one, he's the type A that kind of keeps everything grounded. He's talking about the game. He's talking about cover three versus cover four.
Hey, you learned something.
I would talk about that.
No, but you found out where the Frosty was invented. And for that, I thank you, my lady.
These are the things that are important. I
yes.
really like to talk about the mascots and like the history behind them. So we call it the lore of
yeah.
segment.
Oh, love it.
Yep. So it's like the lore of the college that we're playing.
Before you sneak out, do we have any lore on Cy that
Ooh.
We could talk about?
We have talked about Cy quite a bit.
Because
be
I get confused. You have a bird and a site. You have a weather
right.
event.
They're
It's
There's
true.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that last season. This season, it was more focused on, like, the lore. So we talked about, like, Camp Annealing. Are you guys familiar with this?
The big clock, right?
The big clock. So it was, like, back in the day in, like, the 60s, when you got to campus, you had to kiss somebody at the stroke of midnight underneath the Camp Anneal, the big clock.
Wearing your letter sweater,
well,
probably, right?
Yeah, probably. The best part about that is, after you have done that, you have to go back to your like, sorority house, and you have to drop jelly beans at all of your sisters' doors to let them know, but it's anonymous, to let them know that you've been kissed.
Wow.
Under the campanile. And by
I've
the
heard
end
about
of the year.
Kiss, but not the jelly beans.
See? And then by the end of the year, if you haven't been kissed, then you have to anonymously drop lemon drops.
Ooh.
By
to be that
doors.
One person.
Oh, I'm going to have to stock
See?
Up on lemon drops. Dang it.
I was studying too much. I promise. I was into the
Dang
studies.
It. I was way too focused on my studies.
Gotta
and now I have to
grades.
Buy lemon drops.
Yes. That's These, great lore.
That is
yeah,
great
I love
lore.
It.
These are the things I care about.
Yes.
And the Frosty.
Well, how do we find this podcast with all of the Hawks and the lore?
Totally. Yeah. So on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you listen to your podcast, but also on YouTube. So we have like a video element that's like super high quality. Again, a shout out to Storyline Multimedia because they do such a wonderful job for us.
And we just did a giveaway because we hit 1,000 subscribers on
Hey-o.
YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Yes. We're trying to make moves here, you guys. Yeah. We're having
Well, we're
a good
doing
time
our best
it.
To help you out.
I appreciate it.
We have like 10 people who listen to the show. So. That's 10 more.
Well, two of them are here, so.
Oh, dang it.
We have eight
people. Up to eight people listening right now, so very
yes.
excited. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. Matt and Laura Vandenberg in studio talking Hawks.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm ready for this game.
I'm ready. Hawkeyes and Cyclones coming up 11 o'clock. Go Hawks!
Thanks. Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.